If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another expert episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today we are exploring a very important topic. We're talking about forgiveness. And to do that, I have expert Dara McKinley on the show. And we were actually talking after we stopped recording, but I can't believe that in 270 episodes, this is the first one we have on forgiveness. It is such an important topic. I think very much so when it comes to going through a breakup. And in this episode, we talk about Dara's journey to figuring out how to forgive. She realized she needed to do some forgiving and went online of how to, and there was nothing there. And I think that's so true. We hear so often, you need to forgive. Being angry at someone is like drinking poison and hoping they die. Like, there's just so many reasons as to why we're supposed to forgive, but there's very little on how to actually do it. And in this episode, we talk about why so many people think it's hard to forgive and why it feels so unattainable. We talk about the misconceptions people have about forgiveness, that it is condoning someone's behavior or it's allowing people to get away with things. We talk about AA and the 12 steps, which is a very near and dear topic to my heart. And we talk about the idea of self-forgiveness. So this is just a really good episode on if you feel stuck on being able to forgive your ex. I mean, even if you're just going through the beginning of a breakup, just knowing what's to come later on, we do talk about how forgiveness is not something that's going to happen right after something traumatic. And Dara teaches a course called How to Forgive that she's been teaching since 2014. And you can sign up for that course starting May 30th. So I highly recommend you guys do that. I have that linked in the show notes. Welcome, Dara, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Very excited to have you on today and to talk about, I think, a very, very appropriate topic for breakups, which is forgiveness. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So I feel like I start every interview the same way, is and asking people how they fell into the topic that they've become passionate and an expert at. Can you talk a little bit about your journey of what led you to talking about forgiveness?
Yeah, I've always a very spiritual person. I was born a very spiritual little girl, and I ended up pursuing a career in psychology and spirituality. And so I basically describe myself as a born geek for healing modalities. I've always had my eye on them. I've always really contemplated what really helps someone get past hard times. So I was very open to alternative modalities. I was very open to mainstream modalities. But my main criteria was, does this really help? Is this person really clear of the past? Did they really recover? So I was really after tangible results. And I would scrutinize all the many healing modalities I have come across over the last 3 decades through that lens. And I'm a fan of many of them. You know, I think there are a lot of really amazing healing modalities out there. So naturally, I also grew up in I didn't grow up Christian, but I had a lot of Catholic aunts and uncles. So like many people in the Western world, was hearing about forgiveness from my earliest days. And I loved it. I mean, who doesn't love that idea, right? That you pardon others and then you feel at peace and you can move forward. To me, the theory sounded awesome. But whenever I went to put it into any practical use, I couldn't make it work. And I can't say like I tried that hard, but I definitely thought about it a lot, you know, through before I actually came to the forgiveness path. So in my early 30s, here's the story. People like to know, I got into a business relationship with people who I would be incompatible with, but the business took off. And so we endured each other for as long as we could, which was about 5 years, I think. And then things fell apart and I got pushed out. And the business was a huge source of joy for me. And it was had also been my idea. So it was a big loss. But at this point in my life, I had been studying psychology and spirituality for 2 decades. So I thought, okay, Dara, this is a huge hit, but you have the skills to move forward. You're going to lean into your significant relationships. You're going to recreate your life. You're going to focus on gratitude. You're going to process your emotions. And I did all these things. And 3 years later, I still noticed, and this would happen when I was washing the dishes and folding the laundry, I would notice like a negative narrative looping in my head that like what happened was so wrong and that I deserve justice and that, you know, if only, you know, something could happen that could create justice, I would feel better. And while this was happening, I started sliding into, you know, quite honestly, what I'll call now like the initiation of perimenopause. At the time, it was just a mystery illness. Today, you can Google perimenopause and get a ridiculous amount of information and reference about it. But in 2012, we were still in a barren land about it. So here I am having insomnia, anxiety. The doctors can't figure out what's going on. I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. I have an immense fatigue also. So I start freaking out. So because I have this like really strong spiritual connection, I'm not psychic or anything like that, but I am very intuitive. And I believe in the depths of my bones, and I think this is the key to having these moments, that when you implore the universe and really say, like, tell me what to do right now, give me a sign, I believe that you get one. So I pulled that card in this moment. I was like, wow, this is a down on my knees moment. I really need some guidance here. I'm freaked out to my bones. And the message I got back when I did this was forgive. And I knew I had something to forgive, but like a lot of people who hear that message, I was completely annoyed by it. Like I even though I was like, I'll do anything you say once.
Not that.
But how could this? Yeah, I completely turned into a teenager, rolled my eyes like, no, this can't possibly be the answer to my problems right now. So I tried to ignore it, but it was so clear that I thought, okay, Dara, so this is October 2012. Okay, Dara, get online, type in how to forgive, find out who wrote the How to Forgive 5-step PDF, follow it. You like to try new things. You're an open person. You have nothing to lose and see what happens. And who knows, maybe it'll work. And I typed in how to forgive and 99.9% of what came up was why a person should forgive. And the teeny bit I could find on some forum, which was someone like me crying out, but how do you do it? They were getting back, you just do it. So I closed my computer and I was like, wow, I'm on my own here. I can't just do this. Like, I really need directions. So I thought, okay, well, Dara, you've been studying psychology and spirituality for 2 decades. Think about this. Like, come up with your own step-by-step right now. And I did. And 3 weeks later, I felt an inner peace that I hadn't felt in 3 years. And I had 2 thoughts that at the time would change my life. The first one was, wow, forgiveness is for real. Like, this is a legitimate healing modality. I am so impressed by this. And my second thought was, and that wasn't pardoning. Why does everyone say forgiveness is pardoning? Yeah. And other than considering it a personal win in that moment, I didn't think anything of it. I went forward with my life, but now the social media has thrown mainstream narratives, you know, in our faces, and I'm starting to see how the rest of the world is perceiving forgiveness. And so 2 years later in 2014, I got on GoDaddy and I typed in howtoforgive.com and it was like waiting for me there.
That's a very cool story and very similar to I feel like I did the same thing, like how to get over a breakup online, and everything was how to get your ex back. And I was like, that's not really what I'm interested in, you know? And so that's beautiful that you were able to create that. And you started actually getting into my next question, which was, what are the biggest misconceptions we have about forgiveness? And you mentioned one of them is pardoning. And I hear that question all the time of, why would I forgive my ex? Isn't that letting them get away with something? I feel like we're allowing or we're condoning bad behavior by forgiving things. But I would just love to hear in your words, what are the biggest misconceptions people have around forgiveness?
Yeah. And so I just want to begin with like a little disclaimer, because there are people who have survived wars and atrocities and have written books about forgiveness as pardoning has healed them and allowed them to move forward. And I want to say right now that I believe these people, and I believe that this pardoning definition does work for a certain amount of the population. And I also see that it doesn't work for a huge part of the population. And that's the part of the population I'm representing. And most of these people, I do get people who are religious in my course, and I teach in a universal way. So they can take what I'm saying and apply it to, you know, their belief system. However, most people who identify as spiritual but not religious actually come to my work because spiritual but not religious people are very practical. They're very logical, and they don't want to believe something just because they were told to believe it. So with that said, the four mainstream definitions of forgiveness are pardoning, letting go, ceasing anger, and having compassion. And I have come to see, and this is what I teach, that those definitions are actually the result of forgiveness. They're not the path of forgiveness. They're putting the cart before the horse. And that's why so many people struggle with them. That's why they seem impossible. You're not crazy. For all the people out there who feel like a forgiveness failure right now, no, you are not a forgiveness failure. There's something about these definitions that are distorting the actual path.
Yeah, my background is, I've been in part of AA for 12 and a half years. And this is a big one, is like, sometimes we have to change our actions and then the feelings and the thoughts follow. So I feel like I'm such a believer, and I'm definitely in the spiritual but not religious camp as well. And I love practicality. And I felt like a failure for so long, not being able to change my thoughts. Why can't I just change my thoughts? I know this to my inner core that logically this should make sense, but my feelings are not following that. But by taking action, I've always found like that's how we get our feelings to change.
Oh, okay. Wow. I like that.
So I feel like this really identifies with that. And I imagine that your work provides a big amount of relief for people to think, okay, I'm not just a spiteful person, or I'm not just doing this wrong. I'm not failing at it. It's just I haven't actually been able to forgive, and that's why I'm not feeling these four things that you just mentioned.
Right. And, you know, if you want to talk about how my work relates to the aftermath of a breakup, would you like to go into that?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. So I identified three time frames that a person could forgive. The first one is as episodic. And episodic is what brought me to the forgiveness path. Something really intense happened, but the circumstances were completely behind me. And a good amount of time had passed. So it was, you know, 3 years had passed. So it was really behind me. I was never going to see these people again or talk to them again. So episodic timeframes can actually be really intense. And they're typically the time frame that can affect our nervous systems in really strong ways. But otherwise, they're actually some of the most straightforward things to forgive. The second one is enduring. And enduring is when you wake up in the morning and there is this problem that you're faced with. And it can be a difficult ex. The experience of grief is in the enduring time frame. It can be, just a chronic illness, a difficult boss, a special needs child. Just you open your eyes and there it is. And then epic. Epic is things that have gone on for potentially decades. So this includes childhoods, you know, long marriages. And people with an epic time frame, they love the idea of forgiveness. So like when they meet me and they hear that I teach forgiveness, they immediately go, oh, wow, because they know they have something that they want to be at peace about. And then they can quickly go into cynicism about it because they think, oh, well, where would I even begin with forgiving that? Mm. You know, that went on for so long. There were so many aggressions. They feel overwhelmed by the whole thing and just think that it could never work for them. So anyway, whoever's listening to me right now, forgiveness works for all three of those things in different ways. And I can talk about that. A breakup, the immediate aftermath of a breakup definitely qualifies for the enduring time frame. You can't just snap your fingers and have that go away. I do get people often coming to me being like, oh my God, I just found my ex in bed with somebody else. Can I forgive this away? You know, and they're traumatized.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, I'm like, you know, and forgiveness absolutely does help with these things, but that's just not the time to learn how to do it because you're flooded.
Yeah.
And so you have to come back down into your body and, you know, examine a lot of important things that have, you know, brought that moment on. And then once you kind of get past that acute stress, you can start looking at forgiveness. So I know, you know, I have been in the aftermath of breakups before. I'm actually in the aftermath of a breakup right now. So I can talk very vividly about how I'm using forgiveness, and I'm basically using it to keep my channel clean, because it's so provocative to be in this place. And I'm just going to speak from my experience. I know everybody has a different path. I'm in a very provocative place where I have a lot of things coming at me at once. And so I'm using forgiveness to keep me on the highest path and to keep me connected to my intuition, because I feel like my intuition is my biggest ally right now in all the decisions I need to make going forward. And your intuition 100% wants you to heal, and it wants you to recover, and it has a lot of valuable information. And if we get too emotionally congested or get the stress just builds up too much, we lose access to it. So that's one of my favorite benefits of forgiveness. But I'm not thinking that my ex, I'm going to have this completely peaceful nirvana experience with them in this stage of it. And I'm actually never going to shoot for that, quite honestly. I know, though, once I get past this part and the dust has settled and I have found my feet again, I am going to do a very strong forgiveness process about this relationship and about this ending. And why I'm going to do that is I want to position it within the highest good. And I want to live my life with that experience. And I don't want to be carrying around emotional burdens in my body about him and what has happened. So right now I'm using it to get through. I'm using forgiveness. I say that I'm in a stormy sea, and forgiveness right now is my boat. It's my oars. It's my life jacket. It's my supplies. Mm-hmm. And once I finally get this boat to land somewhere and get my bearings again, I'm going to give this entire saga up to the highest love.
Yeah. That is another question that I had, was time frames on that. So that makes a lot of sense that you wouldn't be able to jump into forgiveness right away. I mean, knowing that's the ultimate goal sounds like is a good direction to, or a good like compass to be using, but we can't expect, in my experience, and I don't know if it's the same for everyone, but when something really intense is happening, like right after something maybe traumatic, I feel like my intuition is clouded. So I feel like my thoughts are usually the thing that are really loud. They're not telling me the truth. They're telling me, you know, it's not my highest good that's talking to me. It's telling me bad things about myself, that, you know, so-and-so is out to get me, all of those different things. So I feel like there needs to be that, if we're talking about the sea example, the seas have to calm down a little bit before we're able to access that intuition, our highest good, be able to see things for what they are. And I tend to see people do that with breakups. They try to dissect it right away when they're in a phase where it's like, I don't even really think you can quite see it for what it is right after it happens. Everything is just too red hot.
Right. Right.
So,
and there's a lot to gain from that experience, right? That's just a natural part of the human experience that we can tend to in a very direct way. You know, unfortunately, I say unfortunately because, right, no one wants to go through a hard time. And that's the human experience. We're in cycles of, they call it cycles of becoming, right? Mm-hmm. We need to kind of go down to the depths in order to go down to our highest self. And that's just the deal in the human realm.
Yeah. I mean, pain is, I talk about this on the podcast a lot. Pain is not fun, but it's also very motivating to do things that we don't want to do. I know my most open-mindedness, where I'm open to try things, is when I'm in a lot of pain and I don't want to feel that. So, and that's the times that I've tried things that have really worked out or really been able to work through things. So I definitely agree with that.
Right. You could even say that emotional stress is the greatest spiritual force on the planet. Because it requires us to reach for something bigger than the circumstances and what reality is handing us.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's just haunting me. So what's, you told me you were in AA for how long?
I mean, I've been 12 and a half years.
Okay. So what's your experience, the 12, the steps, the first step is giving something over to a higher power. Is that right?
That's the second. Well, it's the second and third. Okay. So the first one is just like admitting you're powerless.
Okay.
And that your life has become unmanageable. The cool thing, and I feel very lucky that I've had a really great like sponsor through all of this, but I've used the steps on so many different things, not just alcohol, so far in my past now, but I've been able to use the steps as a framework on a lot of different things in my life. We admitted we were powerless over an ex and my life is unmanageable because I'm trying to control this thing. So then, yeah, steps two and three is I can't do it on my own. So I'm open to another way. And then the third is turning things over to a power greater than yourself. And I will say too, like my husband's, we met in AA and he's like total atheist. And he's been, you know, it's like, it's great because it is like a spiritual, not religious thing. So your higher power could be the ocean. It could be literally anything that's not you.
Right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I mention AA a lot when I try to explain my work because of that. What you just described is the second and third step, because I tell people that forgiveness is a delegation. Mm. You know, so many people wonder like, oh, what's wrong with me? How come I can't be unconditionally loving in this moment? And I say, well, that's not what forgiveness is. It's not our ability to be unconditionally loving. It's our ability to enlist unconditional love. And so many people think like, I can't forgive. I've tried everything. Yeah. And they judge themselves as a forgiveness failure. And I'm like, no, you're not a forgiveness failure. You just need to know this very important trick that's right there for you. And, you know, that's what I teach people in the course is how to access that.
I love that.
And I teach people that however you're experiencing that which is greater than you, it comes into us in many different ways. And I love the examples you just gave, how it can come from the ocean. It can come from your family experience. It can come from a creative passion. It can come from seeing the symphony. There's many ways that we're touched by that.
I love that. And I have a very specific memory of feeling, it was actually after a breakup, and I was at just the point that you talked about in the beginning of just down on my knees, like, I can't do this. Like, I don't feel like things are going to get better. I cannot fathom how I'm not going to feel this way for the rest of my life. And my sponsor said, like, if you don't have hope right now, you can borrow mine, because I have no doubt that you're going to do okay. She's like, you're going to be okay. I know that. Do you trust that I know that? And it's like, yeah, I can see that. I believe you. I trust you in that way. And so I love that idea of borrowing hope when you don't have it. Like you said, delegating, enlisting the help of something more than you, and just being able to realize I don't have to have all the answers. I'm not in control, which is very freeing at times and also very frustrating at times, obviously. But I love that idea of like delegating and being able to tap into something that's not just you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And that makes the whole thing flow, because when you're in the aftermath of a rupture or a betrayal or, you know, just an intense stress, how could you have that capacity in that moment? And so I feel like when people are in those moments and they think, oh, I just need to forgive and then this will go away, but I can't do it, the whole thing just gets compounded. And forgiveness ends up compounding the stress.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about, I often talk about the story of Jesus, which is the most famous forgiveness story of Jesus. I'm not Christian, but as a forgiveness teacher, you come across this story a lot, that as he's being crucified, he looks up and says, Father God, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so many people cite this story because he walked his talk to the very last moments of his life. And I think, yes, of course, that's such a beautiful or amazing thing that he was able to do in the last moments of his life. However, what I think is so interesting about that story is that he actually delegated in that moment. He didn't forgive. He looked up and said, "Father God, can you forgive them?" And I say, like, maybe had we been able to interview him in that moment, he would have said, "I can't do it. I'm being tortured.
Yeah.
I'm in too much pain, but I know something that can. And so I'm going to ask it to come forward."
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. You often hear me say on this show that breakups don't get the credit they deserve. And while I believe as a society we're becoming so much more aware of the importance of mental health and recovery from things like breakups, we still have a long way to go. When people are afraid to ask for help from their breakup, they're not bypassing the pain. They're just keeping it to themselves and making it so much harder. Or I think back to my fear of coming forward and saying that I needed help with my addiction, how different my life would have looked had I not talked about it. Therapy has been such a huge help through all of my hardships, both big and small, and has been the catalyst for me to not only come forward and admit that I need help, but also to be able to see things differently. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching people with the right therapist from their diverse network of more than 30,000 licensed therapists with a wide range of specialties. BetterHelp is fully online, making therapy affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide. We're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/heartbreak to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. One of the most frustrating things for me is when I feel like I'm taking really good care of myself and doing everything right, sleep, water, movement, eating well, and I still feel so blah. Bloating, low energy, irritability. It feels like there had to be something more going on. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part is after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the quiz and found out that I'm likely going through estrogen dominance and not metabolizing it well, which can explain my chronic fatigue, overwhelm, bloating, and anxiety. And the quiz recommended Hormone Harmony, which is an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system. It doesn't just help with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It also helps with stress hormones like cortisol, which is a little troublemaker. We often think we need big lifestyle changes to feel better, but in reality, small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today. My life has felt so stressful lately, and finding balance has been something to work really hard at, which is why I love having ashwagandha in my toolkit to help with my stress. It's been used for centuries to help manage stress and promote relaxation. Goalie makes wellness easy and delicious with their ashwagandha gummies, and they're America's number one ashwagandha brand, trusted by millions. They're chewable, made with high quality ingredients, and packed with essential B vitamins so you can feel your best without any hassle. Goalie ashwagandha gummies are made with KSM-66, a clinically studied form of ashwagandha known to lower your cortisol levels, which is the hormone your body releases when you're stressed. And lately, it has felt like I have pure cortisol coursing through my body, so this has been such a big help for me. It also includes vitamin D to support mood, immune health, and overall wellness. No pills, powders, or mixing, just convenient on-the-go stress support and a delicious gummy. Head to goalie.com now and get 50% off Goalie's ashwagandha gummies today only using code GOALIE50. Try them risk-free with Goalie's money-back guarantee because wellness should be simple, effective, and delicious. Don't wait. Visit goalie.com and use code GOALIE50 today.
I love that. I'm such a big believer that if you open the door of willingness, like if you just have the tiniest bit of willingness to say, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm open, I'm willing to take the help. I've had a few times in my life where that's happened. The first one was the day I got sober. It was like, I have this little bit of willingness. And then the things that just like came into my life through other people, through like random messages that I got that day or that following week, I still get the chills when I talk about it because it was not me and it wasn't something that I sought out. It was just something of saying like, I need help, please. And then things just like started coming in. And the same thing happened after breakups, you know?
that which is greater than you came forward and said, okay, I think that which is greater than us, I just find it as unconditional love, loves when we step on the healing path.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we step on the healing path, it comes forth in such all the messages. In that moment where you're like, oh my God, I don't know if I can go forward. And you look down at your phone and there's the message from your friend. So yeah, I love that you shared that.
Yeah. And people will ask me a lot, do you think everyone can get over a relationship, like a breakup? And I really believe like if you have the willingness to do it, like you will do it. I don't know if I've encountered someone who hasn't been able to move through it, but I feel like if that was, it was because there was this like unwillingness to see things another way or unwillingness to take the action. And one thing that I wanted to ask you is, I think the feeling of justified anger can feel so good. And I don't know if people like, I can relate to this a lot, but justified anger can feel so good. It's like a hell of a drug of being like, okay, I'm so mad at them. And especially it's a good distraction from utter sadness and betrayal and all of those things. What would you say to someone who's having a hard time letting go of that justified anger? Because whether they know it or not, then they have to step into maybe some of the other feelings that don't really feel as good.
Right. So my approach is very emotion positive. And I think that a processed emotion is a magical force. And we will get our most bang for our buck with our strong emotions. So I think actually believing in emotion and identifying with emotion and embedding an emotion and indulging in emotion, like that just keeps us on the hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. But when we actually like process that emotion, and I think it reveals a well of intuition once we go through that. And you can process an emotion. I mean, it depends on what you have going on, but it's really something that can happen like within 30 minutes. So if you spend 30 minutes, like really for in the example that you just gave, letting your anger be a sacred force that needs to be seen.
Mm.
Once you get to the other side of that, you're going to feel a peace and a truth that's going to move you forward in a really good way. So I don't ever tell anyone that they shouldn't feel angry. I do tell people walking around with unprocessed emotions, like, is going to create negative narratives. It's not going to bring us what we want. You know, I do believe, you know, a little bit like in the law of attraction that like the energy that you're bringing forth is, you know, going to come back at you. And so, but I believe, you know, as I kind of mentioned earlier, that emotional stress, when we have the right perspective about it, really is this amazing spiritual force.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach people how to process their emotions. So I'm not, you know, one of the big criticisms of forgiveness is spiritual bypassing, meaning like, yeah. Oh, just let it go. Mm-hmm. Oh, just forgive them. Like when I see something about letting go online, when I see an infographic about letting go online, I'm like, will you please stop gaslighting us?
Yes.
Just have compassion. So I am very much like, no, actually, dig deep into what you're feeling,
mm-hmm.
process what you're feeling. I say like with a two-year-old, I have two children, so I've gone through this. If you have a two-year-old having a temper tantrum, if you try to rationalize with that two-year-old, all you're going to do is inflame the situation. But if you say, what happened? And they say, the stick broke. And tell me what else. And that was my favorite stick. And tell me what else. And I'm never going to find another stick like that again. And tell me what. And you just sit there and see them in whatever their lunacy is in that moment, because it's some two-year-old broken plate kind of thing, and just let them get it out. Then they look at you and they look at you like, thanks. And then they can go on to their next moment. But if you try to contain it or rationalize it or control it, all you do is get a bigger temper tantrum. So I teach people to kind of get in there and see their emotions. I believe that that's what emotions need in order to flow and move forward. And once they're circulating, then unconditional love actually can saturate or enter into you and the whole situation in a deeper way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's, I mean, I relate very hard with having a 3-year-old right now and just trying to rationalize with him when that just doesn't work. And I often think like I should gentle parent myself probably a little. I think we would all benefit from like gentle parenting ourselves a little bit better of just like instead of pushing emotions to the side or just hopping right to logic, just allowing things to come out of I'm feeling this way and not having judgment around it. Kind of going back to AA, like we talked about the second and third step, but the fourth and fifth step is also about like it's a lot of it is about resentments. And you do this like inventory where you list out everyone that you have a resentment towards from your whole life. I was told if Sally threw a stick at you in the first grade and you still think about it, like you're going to write that down. And you do that, they call it a searching and fearless moral inventory. And at first you write down everyone you're mad at, and it's like feels very cathartic because you're just going to town of all the things that all the wrongs that people have done to you. And then you get to the last part or like the last column, and they ask you to identify your part in the resentment. And obviously that's not as much fun. And I wonder, like, is that a part of your work at all, is seeing where your part was in all of it? And sometimes the part is I've held on to this for this long, or now that I've been in AA for so long, I feel like I'm looking at things a little bit differently. In the beginning, I was so by the book, and now I feel like there's a lot more nuance to it. But is that ever part of it, of looking like, where did you contribute to this thing that you're feeling resentful about?
No, not. I do believe in that. I'm a trained therapist, and so we call that like radical self-responsibility. And I think it's, you know, the greatest thing ever that I definitely strive to ask myself how I contribute. I really think it's one of the most liberating paths to look at situations that way. And I also believe in karma. And I think that's one of the best ways to actually see a person's karmic path. And I don't mean karma by debt or bad luck or anything. I mean karma that we all have a unique curriculum. And to actually see the, how that curriculum's unfolding is a beneficial way to go through life.
Yeah.
But I do teach that it's all yours to heal. Even though that person may have triggered this really strong feeling of anger, it's now yours, and really owning it 100% as yours is the path of power, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're constantly attributing it to them, then you're giving away your power. Mm-hmm. But if you say, okay, even though these circumstances created these feelings in my body, the path of power is for me to own them and address them and tend to them despite the fact of what caused them. And that's where I'm really going to get, it's hard to explain it, but it really is power, right? It's personal power, because once you get fortified and you get through that situation and you can really own what's happening in your body, you're not going to be as knocked around by all the external circumstances. And so, and that's where the healing is, right? Imagine you can go through life and no matter what happens on the outside, and because things are constantly happening on the outside. I mean, right now we're all being triggered, you know, left and right. You open your computer and it's like, there it is. But I can be fully responsible for what's happening inside my body and organize things and process things and tend to things so that I'm walking through this in the best possible way.
Yeah. In my experience, that has been 100% the case. I love that term, the path to power. I think the world can be such a scary place if you feel like you're at the mercy of everybody else, because like you said, we're constantly inundated with stuff that could hurt us or put us in a bad mood. But if we can say, okay, this is what I have. The only thing I can control is right here, like nothing past the tip of my nose. And that is empowering to be able to see it. And honestly, my biggest forgiveness instance that I had was I had a very abusive ex-boyfriend for almost 3 years. And 2 years later, I remember so vividly writing in my journal why the name Rick makes me want to vomit. Like I can't even seen him in well over a year at that point. And I just wrote down like, why is this still getting at me so much? And I got to a place where it was like, something's got to change here, because I can't continue to let him just be in my space, you know? And I read that point. And then I had a reading the next day. I think it was about forgiveness. It was one of those like daily reflection books. And it just happened to be that date. And what I felt drawn to do next was write down my part in it, but in a very compassionate way. Like, I wasn't beating myself up. It was just, okay, you stayed. You were young, but you still stayed. You fed into a lot of it. Like, you really played the game and did all the things. And it was finally where I was able to do it at a place where I wasn't blaming myself for it. And it's so crazy. Literally, like, the next day, it was like I could breathe again, it felt like. And that really was being able to see, okay, yeah, you made some mistakes, but that's okay. But that's what led to it, you know, because I was so afraid that was going to happen to me again, I think. And so being able to see this is what led to it and being aware of that, it's like, I know that's not going to happen again. So I don't know if that like jives with your framework.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. Yeah. As I'm going through this breakup, I mean, and basically hired a therapist who I kind of, he quasi makes me nuts, but he makes me take responsibility for everything.
Yeah.
And I benefit from it. It's amazing. That's how I want to walk through this life. I do not want to walk through this life saying unaware of my patterns and making other people responsible for my situation and how I feel. And I know, you know, a lot of us, I'm sure you have a lot of mothers listening to you. Us mothers, especially when the kids are young, we are in it. Right? There is not a lot of room. You know, there's barely a minute in the day. And so I really want to like toss that out. And you're devoted to these young beings and they have your heart and you want to do the best job. Like, there's so much good intention there, you know? And I think that modern motherhood's very unfair. And so that's a whole other, you know, podcast we can have. So, but I just want to, you know, shout out to the moms out there who don't, last thing they need is another thing added to their minds or their plates in this moment, because you really are swimming for your life. With that said, though, in general, like aside from swimming for your life because you have two kids, you know, that you're carrying through, that having the space and time to really reflect on the choices that you made and why you made them, it's huge. As I said, it's total liberation right there. And it's not easy, incredibly difficult to look at yourself that honestly. I love the story that you just said, how that like flipped the switch for you, like seeing that. And that's where the power is, right? Like how much power you sourced and attained going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think if I would have done that, I mean, I'm sure I could have done it earlier. I probably didn't need to not like hate his guts for that many years. But I do think there probably was a time that if I tried to do that, it would become like a Kendra bashing session where it was like, maybe I wouldn't still be mad at him, but I would like hate myself for it. So I do think I had to have that time of seeing like what happened to me was not okay. These are all the things that it left me with. So I think I had to have that time of something bad happened to me. And then time went on and then it was, okay, now that I've taken care of me, it's like now I can really look at this objectively and be able to let it go in that way. And before we get to the end of the interview, like I do really want to make sure we talk about self-forgiveness because I think that's a really big one. And I think that's a lot of questions I get are, okay, I feel like I'm over my ex, but now I'm really mad at myself that I stayed for that long, or I'm mad that I didn't see the signs earlier. I am mad I wasted this time. So what are your thoughts on self-forgiveness?
Right. So you can forgive anything. And so it's a matter of like what you think is the most important thing to forgive. And the first thing that you should forgive is the thing that's bothering you the most. And so if the choices that you made and you're being self-critical, and in the psychology world, we call it, you know, being self-aggressive. If you feel like that's the strongest force in your life, like, yes, that's what you can step forward and forgive. The forgiveness process I teach can be applied to anything. You just have to decide what it is that you want to forgive first. And people sometimes also come into the course because there's a number of meditations that we do, and they aren't clear. They know they have something to forgive, or there's like three things and they just can't decide which one it is. There is a part of you that is designed to heal, that knows what to forgive. It knows what to forgive in what order. And it's atrophied in Western culture because it's not developed. Western culture develops our ability to navigate the external realm. That's what we are taught in school, how to navigate the external realm. It's not, doesn't teach us how to navigate the internal realm. The internal realm is designed to heal. It's designed for spiritual connection. It's designed for intuition and creativity. And once we tap in and start moving those muscles, it's right there. Then we can kind of see, oh, wow, yeah, this path is clear and I can move forward. So this part of ourselves knows what to heal first. So sometimes people come in and think, oh, you know, I want to forgive so-and-so. And then they start doing the meditations and this other thing just keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. And that's what your higher self is trying to say, no, do this one first. Mm. And so, yeah, I have read books. I coincidentally read a book like 15 years ago on self-forgiveness. And it was, and the book very loudly said or clearly said that there's forgiving others and there's forgiving yourself. And forgiving yourself is a completely different thing. And then I went on to read 200 pages about why it was different. But it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. It's really unconditional love is unconditional. It's forgiveness, as I define it, is your ability to access unconditional love, however you understand it and experience it. And then the second part of the definition is identifying what within yourself and within the situation needs it. I once had someone who wanted to forgive their ex. And as they're going down the forgiveness trail, the woman that he left her for kept just coming to mind and coming to mind and coming to mind. And so it's like, yeah, put her in there. You know, I have people create a forgiveness equation and I'm like, yes, add her to the equation. Because yeah. Obviously there's a part of you that needs that. And then, you know, with the example that I, you know, what brought me to the forgiveness path, I was grief stricken about having lost the business. And those intrusive thoughts were my mind's way of trying to resolve my heartbreak about it all. So once I started down the forgiveness path, I was like, oh my God, my heartbreak is what needs the unconditional love. Like this whole narrative that's like, oh, if they got justice, I wouldn't have to feel the way I'm feeling. That was my mind's way of trying to resolve that. So once I, you know, said, oh, okay, unconditional love can do this for me. I have the power to do this for myself. I do not need anything to happen to them in order for me to feel better and resolved and to clear of the situation and move forward. So that's what I teach, is helping people see. It's one thing, learning how to apply unconditional love is actually the easy, fun part. But figuring out the facets and all the details and the inner pieces that need it, you know, that's the part that really is the most important thing I'm teaching people.
Yeah, I love that. And I, two things that you said. One, I talk about that all the time. I think I have a whole solo episode of like the people that you might feel resentful at in your breakup that feel like silly, but it's not at all. Because I remember I had this huge resentment against my ex's ex-girlfriend because she was with him longer. And it's like, it felt so silly, but I really had to like, I had to indulge that for a little bit and I had to dig into like why that is. And so I think even the things that feel quote unquote silly or don't make sense, I love that. Like they're coming up for a reason. And I also love that you said it doesn't have to like, I mean, maybe I heard this wrong, but forgiveness doesn't have to include anyone else because you probably won't get what you quote unquote think you need from your ex, or you won't get the exact right thing that they're going to say, or you have all the pieces that will allow you to do that.
Right. Where most people don't get the healing reparative conversation. Some people aren't even alive.
Yeah. they're not available.
Yes. And I love the healing reparative conversation. I think it's gold when you are in a situation where you can have that. But most people don't get it. And you're not left out of forgiveness if you can't have that process with somebody. It really is something that you can do on your own. And that's one of my favorite things about it. It works independently of the circumstances.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was a really fun conversation. I feel like we're in line on so many different ideas here. And I want to give you a second to make sure we talk about how to forgive, because it's opening up in, I think, 2 weeks from when this is released. So can you talk a little bit about the program and what people can expect?
So I used to teach the course in 4 times a year, but now I'm just making it available. I'm doing lots of podcasts and people just want to be able to purchase it when they want to purchase it. So it actually, the next course is really, it's going to eternally become available on the site.
Oh, and amazing. That begins, okay.
Yeah, May 30th.
Amazing. Okay. Yes, I think that's great. And I will link that in the show notes. Is there anywhere else that people can connect with you or find out more?
So I have a website, DaraMcKinley.com, and I am on Instagram and Facebook. I honestly don't do that much there. It's just like a business card. I don't teach on there, but you can find more about me and my work at DaraMcKinley.com.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Dara. This was great. And I know it's really going to help a lot of people. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.